It is Wednesday, July 1st. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
World health officials warn that the coronavirus pandemic is far from over. The U.S. states on both coasts once again broke records for new cases. Meanwhile, what purports to be secret, heavily edited recordings of Joe Biden have emerged in Ukraine. Whether real or not, they're already making the rounds on Trump-friendly propaganda networks in the United States. And lastly, journalists working across the country are treating old reliable police sources with long overdue skepticism. Apparently, the brilliant police strategy of shooting reporters in the face at protests is backfired.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
6 months on, the World Health Organization warns that the coronavirus pandemic is actually speeding up, particularly in countries like the United States that flub the response. The consequences go beyond public health. Between the pandemic itself, the related economic crisis, and school closures affecting 1.5 billion children, the United Nations warns that the most vulnerable people are being forced into some of the world's most dangerous and exploitive jobs. At least 6 states in the U.S. again set records for new COVID-19 cases in a single day. Alabama, Florida, Montana, Nevada, North Carolina, and Oklahoma. California reported 8,000 new cases, breaking its daily record for the third time in 8 days. In Washington, D.C., Anthony Fauci, the federal government's top infectious disease expert, told a Senate committee that the U.S. could soon see 100,000 new cases every day, up from 40,000 currently. In Kansas City, Missouri, Mayor Quentin Lucas received a threat of lynching after announcing a mandatory mask order. And just over the border in Mexico, the first case of coronavirus was confirmed in a refugee camp with 2,000 people. Finally, The Guardian reported that the Trump administration bought up the entire global supply of the first drug it approved to treat coronavirus, remdesivir, for the next 3 months. The drug is under patent by Gilead Pharmaceuticals, and the going rate is $3,200 for a 6-dose course of treatment. But other countries may override the U.S. patent if they deem it necessary to ensure public health. A reminder, U.S. taxpayers put over $70 million into the development of that drug and are seeing nothing but a fleecing. According to White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany, speaking yesterday from the press room podium, Donald Trump is, quote, the most informed person on planet Earth, end quote. And if that's true, maybe he could shed some light on some curious stories out of Ukraine. For about a week, The Washington Post reports Ukrainian media have been reporting on heavily edited audio recordings of Joe Biden's telephone conversations with former President Petro Poroshenko. From there, the recordings have made their way to Trumpist propaganda outlet One America News. The Post says their authenticity cannot be verified. Poroshenko says the recordings are fake. The Biden campaign calls OWN a, quote, conduit for Kremlin disinformation, says the recordings show routine international diplomacy. Among other things, the tapes reveal Biden threatening to withhold a $1 billion loan guarantee from the U.S. unless Poroshenko fires a certain prosecutor. Trump's campaign claims this shows Biden bullying the Ukrainian leader to protect the business dealings of his family, as Biden's sons Hunter held a board seat on the energy company Burisma. The Post says there's no evidence to support that, and Poroshenko denies his involvement in international corruption. The scandal is useful for Republicans because their claims against Biden in many ways mirror the Democrats' case against Trump during his impeachment trial. In the meantime, the current government of Ukraine wants to outlaw the publication of secret recordings of public officials. Well, that's one way to fix the problem. The other way is just to ignore it. Also yesterday, Forbes reported that Biden has more billionaire donors than Trump. That's 106 for Biden, 93 for Trump. Congratulations to all the big winners.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
American journalists have, for many decades, relied on law enforcement sources, often anonymous, to supply the most basic information in local news reporting. But rising awareness of police misconduct, caught on camera, combined with police assaults on working reporters, might finally put an end to that practice. According to the Washington Post, newsrooms around the country are rethinking their over-reliance on police sources. Too often, video evidence has emerged showing a completely different series of events than police depicted in their internal reports and their public statements. As the Post noted, Minneapolis police failed to mention that an officer knelt on George Floyd's neck for more than 8 minutes. They said Breonna Taylor suffered no injuries, though they shot her 8 times. In Buffalo, police said Martin Gugino, who they shoved to the ground so hard he split his skull open, quote, tripped and fell, and so on. As one journalist told the Post, police statements are equivalent to rumors and should be handled as such in news stories. Because this awareness is growing, many newsrooms are shifting resources from an old-fashioned, if it bleeds, it leads crime stories from the cops to more comprehensive coverage that takes systemic biases into account. And there is pressure from the public to go farther, to stop reporting routine crime stories entirely. A coalition of 40 community groups in Philadelphia is asking their daily newspaper, The Inquirer, to stop running stories that rely on the police as the sole source of information. They're also asking for an appeal system so that people named in crime stories can have articles removed. That step will prove less popular in newsrooms, but expect to see more such efforts nationwide. Separately, in Portland, Oregon, the American Civil Liberties Union filed a class action lawsuit against the city on behalf of journalists and legal observers targeted by police in recent protests. The ACLU says targeting of observers spread fear among those who might otherwise bear witness to police abuse, which is, of course, probably the point.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
White centrist candidate Amy McGrath claimed victory yesterday in Kentucky's Democratic Party primary for U.S. Senate. McGrath raised nearly $41 million, according to the most recent Federal Election Commission filings. Her black progressive challenger, Charles Booker, raised not quite $800,000, but still came extremely close to winning it all. Maybe next time. And kudos, Chuck Schumer. You dragged her across the finish line. At least 36 members of the House of Representatives have signed on to a resolution that could lead to the impeachment of Attorney General Bill Barr. The resolution, introduced yesterday by Democratic Congressman Steve Cohen of Tennessee, calls for a formal inquiry into Barr and cites multiple cases where the AG abused his office to benefit Donald Trump. Cohen says Barr undermined our judicial system and perverted the rule of law, among other things. Indeed. A young woman in Oklahoma was shot 4 times after removing a Nazi flag from a man's house in the town of Hunter, north of Oklahoma City. Homeowner Alexander John Feaster, 44, was arrested and charged with shooting with the intent to kill. The woman who tore down his swastika flag, age 26, is reportedly expected to recover. A New York State Supreme Court judge ordered a temporary halt to the publication of a new book by Donald Trump's only niece, Mary Trump, detailing abusive behavior in the family. Judge Hal Greenwald reportedly plans to hold a hearing on July 10 to determine whether the book violates a confidentiality agreement signed during a dispute over the estate of Donald's father, Fred Trump. A lawyer for the author called the order prior restraint on core political speech that flatly violates the First Amendment. Now, where are those free speech warriors at? Maybe this would be a good time for them to speak up. Bueller? Bueller?
Quicker! Quickie.
That's all for the AM Quickie. Join us this afternoon live on the Majority Report at noon. Later is a podcast.